Happy Monday, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And I think it's, although I do not celebrate anymore, I think it's Halloween week this week. So happy Halloween for whatever that's worth. Boo. There you go. All right. It's October 25th, 2021. It's nice to have you here with us today or whenever you're listening. You may be listening on the archives. We know a lot of people do that. It is a podcast after all there for your convenience. We archive everything over on our website, which is ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, and we hope you take a few minutes and go over there, no matter when you're listening, because we have all kinds of information over there, including our magazine, which is called Equity and Access, which is absolutely a wonderful magazine, and all our podcasts are there, the magazine's over there, and there's a link now to SEL Today, our new website all about social-emotional learning. That's we're very pleased with that. It's really just great. We're getting good vibes on it, a lot of people going over there. You can link over to seltoday.org from ace-ed.org. So please do that, and we hope you enjoy all the things we're doing for equity and SEL. We have a really good show with really good friends today and a newcomer to a really good friend. Chris Seeley is here from the American Psychiatric Foundation. The American Psychiatric Association Foundation. There we go. I knew that the whole time. He's been with us many, many times, but he's bringing with him the new executive director, who's Raul Andrews Jr., okay, an attorney we're going to talk about. Raul, meet him, and hello, Chris. Welcome to Monday morning. I'm tongue-tied.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning. No worries. It is a mouthful, but yep, American Psychiatric Association Foundation. Always happy to be with you on the podcast here.
Thank you. And I do know that. I just couldn't get it out right. So it was like four words coming out in the wrong order. Okay, so I apologize for that.
American we'll chalk it up to
Psychiatric.
Monday.
It is a Monday. American Psychiatric Association Foundation with a new leader, a new executive director, Raul Andrews Jr. Hi, Raul. It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Chris, and all our listeners. How y'all doing?
We're doing just great, as a matter of fact. Raul, you have an interesting background. You were with AARP. Okay, so I want to thank you personally on behalf of millions of people for all of my discounts. Thank you.
Hey, and I know they were happy to provide them and looking for more opportunities.
Absolutely. It's a great organization. I love AARP, and I actually read the magazine every month. Okay? So it's really good. And, Raul, where are you from? I'm picking up a minor accent. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Houston, Texas, but I've been in the Washington metro area for almost 30 years.
So, well, I don't envy you your football teams this year, either the Redskins or the Redskins. I'm back in the time, the Washington football team, or the Houston Texans, which used to be the Houston Oilers. I can almost say that one.
Well,
okay, so
know,
which one?
The Titans in Tennessee are the old Oilers, so I followed my Titans, but I'm
there
excited about my Astros. I'm excited about my Astros.
Well, you're talking to a guy who rooted for the Red Sox. I live in Maine. This is going to be a challenge on this show now. Okay?
Well, no, because it's not the Yankees, Larry, so we're going to be
there
fine.
You go. Thanks, Raul. I appreciate that. I really do. And your Titans did a good job yesterday. Okay? If I may, just to break away, Mike Vrabel, one of my favorite head coaches, former linebacker for the Patriots, okay, it was 27-3 against the Chiefs, so I was very happy about that. Sorry, Kansas City, that's the way it goes. All right, what can I tell you? Well, you have another position. I just have to talk to you about this before we get into all the wonderful things you guys are going to be doing at the foundation. Okay, you're president-elect of the Bar Association of the District of Columbia, which means that in the land of lawyers, thou art king. Is this correct?
Well, I wouldn't say king, but Duke for now, Larry. But I'll accept that you said it.
Right? Right? That's great. Congratulations.
I'll accept that you said it. But, yeah, no, we're celebrating 150 years of service in the district and just a wonderful time not only for to celebrate law and service and leadership, but to be able to bring some of that over to the APA and the APA Foundation. I'm just really blessed to have that opportunity.
It's just amazing, and congratulations. That really is a big deal. Again, Rao, not only the executive director of the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, who we're going to talk about today, president-elect of the Bar Association of District of Columbia. Okay, and that's really a big deal. Now to my buddy Chris. Hi, Chris. Chris Seeley.
Larry, how you doing? Yeah, and I have to say I am excited as well to have Rao as the president of the D.C. Bar, given the, you know, though we're usually here to talk about schools. I know I've mentioned in the past my other work with the justice side of things, and
right,
I think,
right.
You know, access
right.
to justice and access to care within that system is so huge, and lawyers play a pivotal role in that system. So me and Rao have already talked, you know, behind the scenes a little bit on what we could potentially do there. So really excited to have him at the helm and for us to continue to kind of push these conversations and produce resources and really continue to make an impact, you know, where everybody lives, learns, works, and worships, and, you know, others as well.
You got that right. What they say, it's the beginning of a beautiful relationship, to quote Casablanca, the movie. I mean, it's just going to be terrific. And the power of you two working together, I know you so well, Chris, and how well you do your job as the program director for the school and social and justice initiatives. Okay, we've been doing a lot of work together, and this is just adding Rao's positioning and understanding is going to add so much more. Okay, to what you already do. And before we get into your new podcast, I'm going to ask Chris. Chris, talk to everybody about what the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, okay, does. And here's a good question because it'll put it into a nice perspective. We're Education Talk Radio. What are you doing here on Education Talk Radio, which, by the way, you've been on probably five times before? But tell everybody. Put it all together. Chris Seeley, everybody.
You know, actually, Larry, I'm going to pass it over to Rao let him take the mission and vision of the APA Foundation. So go ahead, Rao.
You're on, Rao.
Thank you, guys. So the APA Foundation will celebrate 30 years of service, Larry, in 2022. And we have one simple goal, and that is a mentally healthy nation for all.
Yep.
And what that looks like. What that looks like is raising awareness around mental health and mental health resources. I think the pandemic, unfortunately, has raised awareness about mental health, but hasn't always showed a bridge to get the help that might be needed. We're trying to combat stigma. Fear, shame, and retaliation are huge in issues around mental health and have been for centuries. We are investing, Larry, in the future of psychiatry and psychiatry leadership. A lot of times we hear about 40 under 40 and 30 under 30.
Yes.
The APA Foundation hosts 173 fellows. These are all post-medical student graduates in residencies across this country. And we are working with 173 of them to build new muscle and capacity around the future of mental health and mental health equity. Last couple of things, Larry, we're supporting research so that our work is evidence-based, that when we say that one in five adults face mental health challenges, we have the research to back that up. You know, when we say that one in seven 10 to 19-year-olds are suffering from some kind of mental illness challenge, and those disorders start by age 14, but are not detected or treated, you know, we have to be out on front lines. And then finally, we're going to work together when we have to. We will work alone when we need to in order to get our education and outreach initiatives in the community where, as Chris said, people live, learn, work, worship. And for the benefit of your listeners, we're going to add a new, what I call, fifth dimension, Larry, around where we play.
Good man. Good man. And I'll tell you something, Rao. There's an emphasis, as you both are well aware, on social-emotional learning, K-12, pre-K-12. Okay, this has become a key thing. It has been for a while very important, but it moved basically to the top of the list, okay, of things that are affecting schools outside of just pure academics and reading, writing, arithmetic, so to speak. Okay, social-emotional learning has become extremely important, and that has to do with the mental and emotional wellness, okay, of students and educators. And I've worked with Chris for a long time now, and I know how important this is to him and all the work that you guys are doing, all right? And it just fits in beautifully with the world of K-12, because you said where people play, where people worship, but it's also where the community gets educated. And if we and schools are in loco parentis of children most of the day, and if we don't get educators to understand what those mental health, social, emotional needs are and how to deal with them and create a system to do that, we are going to be in incredible trouble, especially these days after and during, I might add, still this pandemic. All right, so I am on your side 100% with the good work you're doing. We do need, if I may, a mentally healthy nation. Chris, did I steal your thunder when I gave that speech?
Oh, no, not at all. I think I would add, you know, it's not just, you know, the staff members in the school, but it's the whole school community. And yep. That means, you know, the individuals that provide resources to the school, that's the parents and the caregivers of the students, because they're, you know, I think a very pivotal part of the whole school community. And I think the more that all of us in general can become more emotionally intelligent. Right? There's intelligence of all different kinds, but I think all of us need to become more competent in emotional intelligence. And I think that's where social emotional learning and really what I think I'm excited about when, you know, you start to hear states start to, you know, put out that they need to have this curriculum kind of put throughout K-12 education. There's such an opportunity for us to look at a student when they enter into the school system. How do we build up that emotional intelligence so that when they do exit into whatever field, once they graduate from high school, whether that's college, whether that's trade school, vocational, whatever that might be, that they're ready to be not only a productive member of society, but I think a compassionate, empathetic member of society as well.
Hear, hear, my friend. And also, I got to say, Chris is an expert. He's a trained social worker and clinically trained social worker, and he is very concerned, Chris and the group, on school and justice initiatives, social justice, all right? And we have to take such a look at this because we're so quick, and there's a lot of inherent bias in all this. Okay, more African American kids, Latino kids are subject to serious disciplinary challenges. Okay, and it's not handled well by the schools. The statistics bear this out. We have to make sure that the schools and the families understand. Okay, that social justice has a lot to do with emotional well-being. If I can combine the two. Okay, and we have to get this all working together so that the system becomes equal and better, if I may. All right? Ralph, you got that one? What do you think?
Yes, absolutely, Larry. I mean, the reality of it is one of the reasons we fight stigma so hard every day is because there are stigmas on top of stigmas. And, you know, what Chris and former Justice Evelyn Stratton of Ohio have really been laser focused on with Joy Lloyd Montgomery at the foundation is, you know, how do we break this kindergarten to prison pipeline?
Just think of the word you just said, kindergarten to prison. We used to say school to prison, kindergarten to prison. I'll tell you, we got to get this thing all right. And on that note, Chris and the gang at the foundation have developed a new podcast that you can listen to, and I do want to focus on that. And it's called Mentally Healthy Nation. Okay? And, Chris, I think this is your baby. Am I correct?
Well, you know, it's more of a labor of love, I think, of the entire foundation.
It's a baby.
We were working on a video project with our communications team, and they kind of suggested, hey, what if we turn this into a podcast? And that
yeah,
really,
great.
You know, start the wheels spinning. And I have to, you know, Raul just gave a shout out to Joy Lloyd Montgomery, but she
is
the executive producer of this podcast currently.
I didn't know that.
And has really been doing a wonderful job of just making this happen. And I think it was really, you know, maybe perfect timing, or I'm not quite sure exactly what we could call it, but, you know, to really launch this on World Mental Health Day and with Raul coming on board, really, you know, 8 weeks, but officially maybe 2 weeks before the launch, it really fit into his new vision for the foundation. And I definitely want to actually send it over to him because I think he really wants to amplify the foundation. So I want him to definitely share that.
Okay, cool. And by the way, before you do that, Chris, you mentioned World Mental Health Day. When is that? I just want to get that.
That was
detail.
On October 10th. Yep, that
That's
was
what
October
I thought it
10th,
had passed. I thought we had talked about it. Yeah. Okay, but I wanted to make sure that I hadn't missed something. October 10th was World Mental Health Day, and that's when the podcast was premiered, correct?
Yes. Yep, exactly. That's,
good
that was
man.
The launch day.
Okay.
Yep.
And by the way, I have a link to the podcast on, if you're listening, everybody, right on site there. Okay, you'll see the link. So, Raul, go ahead. Talk about your vision there with the podcast, et cetera. Congratulations on it, too. And Joy's really excellent at what she does, so I'm not surprised she did such a good job on this.
No. This is fantastic because, you know, one of the things I've been able to do, both as a candidate for this role, Larry, and now 4 weeks into the job, is, you know, with medical world, we talk about see one, do one, teach one. So I like to tell the team that I'm in the C1 phase, which is kind of the assessment and review phase. And one of the things that I have found is that we're rich, full in content, but it's not always clear who we are. It's not always clear exactly what we do, and most significantly, why we do it. And again, beyond just saying you want to have a mentally healthy nation. And so we're looking to get all A's in our report card, Larry. And our report card is around amplify our social impact, particularly around why. Because when you know your why, your what has more impact, particularly in community. We want to get an A in familiarity, again, who we are, what we do, and why we do it. And then we want to get an A for amplify our engagement. Up, down, and across all of APA, we'll get these doctors more engaged, these psychiatrists, in what its foundation is doing. We want to see leaders, thought leaders, folks in media, multimedia like yourself, who feel comfortable being out front, talking to us, working with us, sharing ideas of importance with us. And then we want to rally community and rally in the community. Don't lose this moment in time where the needs for mental health exceed the awareness, which is at an all-time
high. Wow. Well, that is a great quote, okay? The needs of mental health exceed the awareness. That's a fabulous a quote. That really puts it in perspective, Raul. And you know, I have to ask, after all these years, and Raul, I know you're new to this job, and Chris, you know, you've been at it for a few years. We still, there's something in the psyche, the human psyche, that is afraid of mental health. I don't know how to say that. We approach it differently than physical health, maybe because we can't see it or something. I don't know, although we can't see cancer either, yet we are very aware of that. Raul, have you ever thought about that? What is it about human nature that makes people so unaware of mental health problems and challenges? Have you ever thought about that at all?
Yeah, and I did, because obviously I had a journey to get here which took more than 30 years, Larry, and I think the challenge we have around mindfulness, brain and body, on paper, when we see them all together, mind, brain, and body, we all see that it's connected. But we have
Absolutely.
Systems and structures that disconnect them. They dissect them so that we don't recognize that mental health really is health. We are really focused on physical health, but we don't think about the mental manifestations that could either be improving or harming overall health outcomes. But if you think about the history of the world, Larry, this isn't a new problem. We haven't taken the time to agree collectively that we have to solve it. So the Salem witch trials, you know, there is some notion that there were some aspects of mental illness around what drove that indictment. Tolstoy, Van Gogh, Donnie Hathaway, Amy Winehouse, among others, dealing with situations, you know, the situation, the really tragic situation with Britney Spears. You know, the reality of is, if it's not a celebrity, though, we don't focus on it. And then we only focus on it for a moment. And we, if we would just decide, like cancer, like HIV and AIDS, you know, like other non-communicable
like
diseases.
The pandemic, if I may. Like the pandemic.
If we just could decide we have to end this scourge of stigma around mental health, we know we could do it, but we just haven't demonstrated the will.
We have not. And you know, I got to tell you, people know that the country is on edge right now emotionally. I'll just use the U.S. as an example. You could probably extrapolate it out to the world. But the country is on edge right now. It's unstable, if I may. All right? And we have to calm that down. And that's an emotional challenge. And we have to get rid of any stigma, and we have to make sure that it works. And that's why, okay, I'm going to swing it right back. I'm going to segue back. When you guys, the experts at the APA Foundation, do a podcast with your expertise as the background about having a mentally healthy nation, okay, it's something, and I say this, this is why we're doing this on Education Talk Radio, schools are the backbone of America. Okay, they represent the community. We have to get the schools extremely involved in this and have them put the resources, the tiers of psychological help, counselors, school psychologists, et cetera, okay, working a multi-tiered experience to get rid of the stigma and make things normal again. It's unbelievable. Chris, let me ask you. I know we should have Joy on, too. I'm sorry she's not here. What are the episodes that are available now for the podcast?
Yeah. And I just wanted to
add. Sorry, Joy's not here. I don't know why we didn't think of that. I apologize, Joy.
Maybe next time.
Yep, so he's welcome.
Well, I think one thing, too, is I think we have to also be better at, you know, I think we always have this conversation of relating, like, oh, if you have a broken arm, you go to the hospital, right? But I think we have to move even further upstream when we're talking about mental health, right? Think about a sprained ankle, for example. I still remember Rice from my middle school days, like rest, ice, compression, and elevation, right? We don't have those simple tools, or you do if you go through therapy and you experience this, but we don't do a good job of communicating out to the general public. How do you manage depression when it might just be a temporary, you know, episode of depression, or when you're feeling anxious about maybe a big meeting or an interview? You know, how do you start to actually work on that before it gets out of control, right? We tend to, you know, always focus right now currently on the system because it's a crisis system, but I think we also have to do a better job of looking upstream and continuing to produce resources and tools for individuals to use so that we don't kind of end up in this crisis space. And I think that's also part of where the episodes that we're looking to put out are really important. You know, the first episode that launched on World Mental Health Day, October 10th, was around trauma-informed communities. And what can we do as a community to really look at not just schools as being trauma-informed, but how do we look at courts and schools and media and businesses and the whole community? Because we all experience trauma, you know, that is a shared experience. It's just how do we move forward from it? And I think we want to become better as a community to look at some of those things. So Dr. Anish Dubey and Judge Teresa Delek are kind of the guest on that. And I think it's a very powerful episode. And we're going to continue to expand on some of the things that they brought up there. Our next episode was launched on National Coming Out Day, which is October 11th.
That was the day after World Mental Health Day.
October, exactly. Right? Yep. We were trying to really launch it around
some of these very big conversations that were happening. And we had a Cure documentary called Cure that we sponsored that really focused on APA and the decision to remove homosexuality from the DSM, which was a huge.
What's DSS? Well, hold on, you're using term I don't know.
The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. It is the guidebook for mental health professionals. The APA really puts it together. It breaks down all of the different diagnoses. So, depressive or mood disorders or bipolar or schizophrenia, it gives you all of the diagnostic material that you would need to hit and some of the statistics behind it as well. We're on number five text revision right now, number five of it. So this was like the original back in kind of in the fight to remove that. And then our other one that we launched with was Mentally Healthy Schools in Times of a Pandemic. This was the town hall that we actually did last year and really thought that it was important as we're still experiencing the pandemic, as you alluded to, that we still need to be very mindful about how schools are thinking about students returning, not returning, the impact that is happening. And I think back to the social connection that a lot of schools were looking to reengage with.
Right. You said something that was interesting, and I seem to remember something about this in my head. Homosexuality used to be if I heard you correctly, a psychiatric diagnosis. Am I correct?
Yes. Yep.
I'd encourage you
to watch the documentary. Yep.
Yeah.
But very pseudoscience, fake science, and statistics that were used. And I think, I think that's a big thing that we're trying to do with some of these episodes is look at the history of psychiatry and how do we continue to learn and move forward. Very, very similar to, I think, what we're – you alluded to it, right? We're looking really hard as a nation right now at our past and how do we learn and kind of move forward together and kind of continue to look at lessons learned. And I think that's a big thing that we want to continue to push even throughout the kind of mental health profession.
Absolutely. And how often are you going to produce a podcast?
So we guarantee at least one episode monthly. We're looking at the second Monday of every month releasing an episode. But right now, we might be doing two episodes a month. So planning on monthly, so look forward to at least one episode a month, but you might get a couple of bonus episodes because we are really finding a lot of interest both from our APA members, but then also just experts throughout the field that really want to get engaged in these critical conversations.
And do me a favor, and I don't know if you're doing this, make sure we get press releases, either the day you do a podcast or before, whenever. Okay, and we'll make sure that we get the word out for you. We're always happy to help you and that kind of a thing.
Perfect.
Okay, we'd love to, and we'd get it up there. We can even I think you and I talked about this. I could probably even download your podcast onto my system.
Yeah,
I'm happy to do that.
Touch base about that because I think that'd be a great, especially around some of these school episodes.
Absolutely.
That we have planned. I think it'd be great for cross promotion and things.
I'm happy to do it.
Mental health experts on your podcast, and I think that it's a really critical conversation for more to know about. Like, let's look at ways that we can amplify each other's message.
Yeah, and when you say a mental health expert on my podcast, anything we're doing with social emotional learning, and I have to say this is a funny way to say it, teachers need to become not experts. They're not supposed to be psychiatrists or psychologists, but teachers, educators have to be able to look at a kid, all right, look at a student, and find out what's going on beyond the quite obvious, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to say this. We have to become mental health experts on our own within education, especially these days. All right, I cannot, and teachers know that. And if we can manage this, it's going to bring down a lot of the stress. All right, and it takes time like anything else, but it brings down the stress. Rao, where do you see all this going?
Well,
Andrews.
I think that, I'm here. I want to say that the podcast will be a game changer for us because we've added. I like to talk about the four legs of the communication stool, and that's the paid media, the earned media, social media, and the owned media. And the fact that we're producing our own podcast to better connect with patients, would-be patients, and caregivers, which includes the faculty and staff of our schools, as well as those.
Bingo.
You know, we could give them a tool, you know, like something every day, and certainly on the second Monday of every month, where you can say, you know what, I'm going to give that a try. You know, I might not have thought of that, or I did think about it, but I didn't have a reason to try it. So this is a way to do that.
And I love what you just said, and that's, we don't normally think of it this way, but educators are caregivers. Okay, you just said that. Okay, and usually those two terms don't run together. All right, but they really are, and more so these days than ever before. And that's physical health and mental health. And their understanding of this makes all the difference in the world. This is going to be great, guys, and we want to make sure that we help you here with everything you do. So that offer's on the table, and Chris, you know that. Okay, and Ralph, it's a pleasure to meet you. Yeah.
No, Larry,
I just want to say.
Wait.
Perfect segue talking about staff, mental health, and well-being, because our next episode in November is going to be around just that. How are we thinking about staff mental health when we're thinking about a school? You know, because a lot of these school initiatives are, you know, very focused on the student. It should be, right? But we need to also think about the teachers and the entire school community as well, because we know, you know, unfortunately, there's a 2021 State of the Teacher survey conducted by RAND that showed that we're at risk of losing a lot of amazing teachers educators to the Great Resignation as well. As nearly one in four teachers said they were likely to leave their jobs by the end of the 2021 school year. And we're working with schools right now, and the conversations with them are, you know, this is the earliest that they've ever been concerned about burnout with staff, being 2 to 3 months into a school year. So that's a really crucial conversation that we want to definitely amplify. So that's an episode can look forward to listening to next month.
Thank you, Chris. And that's incredibly important. And the pipeline is thin for educators. We need, it's tough times. So that's very – thank you, Chris. And by the way, Chris, help me out here. You can Google American Psychiatric Association Foundation, but I believe you go to psych.org, you can get there. Am I correct?
So our website is apafdn.org.
Thank you. I have it here. I don't know why I said that.
And if you search if you just type in mentallyhealthynation.org, that will bring you right to our podcast site on the APA Foundation website. So that you can also find great resources. You can find information about our Notice Talk Act at School, mental health professional development. You were just talking about the importance of training staff to recognize early identification.
Oh, yeah.
The foundation can offer that as well. I know I've been on before to talk about that, so go listen to those older podcast episodes. But all of our resources are there. You can find our Center for Workplace Mental Health, our library and archives, and then you can also find a link to psychiatry.org, which is the APA's website, you know, to dive a little bit deeper into some mental health conversations and topics that are a little bit more medical focused, obviously.
Good man. And by the way, it is apafdn.org. I was looking at your email rather than your website when I said the other one, apafdn.org. Okay, and then you can go / Mentally Healthy Nation if you want to. But I got all this over on the website. Ral, you were saying, let's end it with you, my friend, the new executive director.
No, Larry,
Raul Andrews, everybody.
You and your listeners, Larry, you and your listeners for the time, leadership, and support.
Thanks.
Not only the foundation, but the podcast. Because if we don't have community support, we won't be able to amplify. But I really appreciated the tone and the temperature of this conversation, Larry.
Oh, thank you.
Because
thank you.
This is what helps destigmatize. We were just three guys talking, you know,
yeah.
and we were talking about important things, But we weren't trying to talk over people, talk under people, or talk around people. We're trying to connect with them so that they can get the help that they need. Because some of the stuff you can sleep off, but when you can't just sleep it off, you need to know that there's medical leadership that can provide some help.
You know, Chris, you got to write down everything Rawl says because he is a great guy of quotes. He's like Bartlett.
Oh, he's already given me a few personally. No, I have some in my book already.
He just said some of the stuff you can sleep off, but we're worried about the stuff that you can't. Okay? One quote after another, Rawl, it's wonderful. We'll do more of all this. I got to thank both of you. You're doing such great work. Okay? Keep it up. It's good
thank
for
you.
The schools. What's good for the schools is good for everybody. Thank you, Rawl. Thank you, Chris. We'll talk soon, my friends. Take care.
All righty.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
You God bless.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. Good guys. Well, APA, like American Psychiatric Association, APAFDN.org. Then you can go /mentally healthy nation. That's the name of their podcast. I have it all connected up on the website you're listening right now, so you can see it there. All right. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. And again, social emotional learning. You can link from there to seltoday.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening. Thank you, everybody.